I'm Kim Alexander, and this is Book Radio Presents Urban Fantasy, Saying Goodbye to Your Demons. I spoke with bestsellers Kim Harrison, creator of the Hollow series, along with hit urban fantasy writers Jocelyn Drake and Vicki Pedersen about world building, killing your darlings, and how to start over in a demon-haunted world. So I'm Kim Alexander, along with Kim Harrison, Vicki Pedersen, and Jocelyn Drake. And before we start talking about vampires and demons and sex and leather and all that stuff, I want to say that we all have something very important in common, and that is we all have red hair.
Awesome. Get out.
This much red hair accumulated in one space probably is combustible. Probably never been done before.
It's very rare.
Well, I'm kind of cheating. I'm not a true redhead. Does that count?
Well, honey, yes, it counts. It's
okay. It definitely counts.
You were smart enough to come over to the dark side. That's all.
Absolutely. So the other thing that these ladies have in common is that they have urban fantasy series, some very long-running, some new, some not so new. And before we start talking about these characters, let's talk a little bit about what urban fantasy is. Kim, I'm going to turn over to you at this point.
Okay. As you said, I'm Kim Harrison, and the series that I'm most well known for is The Hollows. Right now, in book 10 is coming out, and I plan it to be a 12 or 13 book series. And although it seems early for me to be thinking about ending my series, I already am, which is it's really neat because Jocelyn and Vicki and I, we all have the same editor, and we are all at the same point of closing out our urban fantasy series and starting a new one, whether it be urban fantasy or not. But as far as what urban fantasy is, it's a lot of things. I'm just going to touch on it, what I think it is, briefly, and then turn it over to Jocelyn and Vicki, because urban fantasy pulls on so many genres. It can be just about anything you want. It can be a little bit of mystery. It can be a little bit of romance. It can be a thriller. It can be a woman in jeopardy. It can be a crime scene. But I think what ties it all together is the characters that are in it. Now, I tend to have witches and vampires. Vicki, you took a different slant with your Signs of the Zodiac series.
I did. I had superheroes, but that was entirely by accident. I had a character pop up in the third chapter and say he was a superhero, and I thought, very funny. I'll just kind of follow him around a bit and see what happens, and then it turned out he was right. So, but I didn't mean to, at the time there was no such thing as urban fantasy, as it exists now. I was just having fun writing a story with these characters I wanted to follow around. So I think you're absolutely right when you say it hinges on good characters and people that, readers connect to. There has to be, even though they have otherworldly abilities, there has to be something that a reader can connect to. And I think that's where the urban part of the genre comes into play, because if you can ground the reader in some way, like you're using Cincinnati and, I have my Las Vegas setting and, that's a little unbelievable in itself. So, but if you can ground the reader in some way, then they're much more likely to follow, a superhero around.
Jocelyn, what do you think it is?
Oh, goodness. Urban fantasy for me has always been melding a little bit of magic and a little bit of reality. It's about vampires walking around in mundane life trying to do, whatever vampires do. And just the chaos that seems to naturally follow them through any story. My Dark Days series, which has just officially ended, was heavily following vampires and a couple other creatures that I created simply because I couldn't find anything in our mythology that quite fit what I was looking for. And that was the creation of the Naturi, which are more of nature-based, sort of elvish kind of creatures that really, really, really hate mankind. And then I also had the Bori, which were kind of soul-based creatures that didn't like mankind that much either, but they really liked controlling them. And that was, what my approach was to urban fantasy is finding, the everyday things that made places like Savannah tick and, setting them on fire with Mira.
So other than having these really interesting characters, does it have to be a city? Can you write urban fantasy that's set in a field?
I think you can, but publishers tend to like you to set it in a real-world setting, in a city, so that you can market it a little stronger there. At least that's what I found. Yeah, Jocelyn and I, we both wrote about Cincinnati, and she had to change it because I took it first.
I live here. I should have had first dibs.
Sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. I found enough trouble to get into in Savannah, so I'm good.
Yeah, they do like you to put it in real cities. And I found that a lot of American cities were, you know, America's a young country, but our cities are old enough that they have a lot of quirks and weird stuff that most people wouldn't know about. Like Cincinnati has the underground tunnels. Las Vegas had, what was the tunnels that you had? It was the drainage?
Yeah, the tunnels. I mean, there's like 50 miles of tunnels running underneath the street that people
don't
really
know
that.
Under Las Vegas, really?
Yeah, it's
wow.
Fabulous.
How weird is that? Savannah has tunnels as well, going from the river all throughout the city.
See, I didn't know that either.
Weird.
Well, Washington, D.C. has a hell mouth. Everyone knows that. You can see it from my window.
Nice.
What made you move towards urban fantasy as opposed to straight-up literary fiction or science fiction? What about the demons and witches and creating these characters appeal to you? And, Kim, we can start with you on this one.
With me? Well, I think for me, it was mostly my reading background. When I was growing up, I read a lot of science fiction, and I read a lot of fairy tales, and you combine those both, and that's at its kernel, urban fantasy. But urban fantasy, they say it's a new genre, but it's been around in Hollywood forever. Bewitched, Dark Shadows is kind of urban fantasy. I Dream of Jeannie, if you want to go back that far, is urban fantasy. So anytime you take a paranormal creature and put them into a reality situation, that's urban fantasy. And Hollywood has just been grabbing onto it lately since they say if you want to know what's going to be popular in the movies 10 years from now, look at what's on the shelves this minute, because that's pretty much what happens. If New York publishing can make money at it, Hollywood figures they can too.
And then they act like they discovered it and they invented it, right?
Yes, and they did. They think they did. But that's kind of where I came from it. I took it from what I read, and then I went to school and got a biology degree, and so I don't really use that per se, but I pull on it every day. I throw a lot of science when I can into my books. So that's kind of where I came at it from.
I thought it was interesting that you said I Dream of Jeannie, because when one thinks of urban fantasy, one thinks of, you know, a woman in black leather with a sword and a lot of tattoos.
That's not her, is it?
That wasn't her. Vicki, do you try and integrate humor into your work?
Yeah, well, my first series was so very dark that it was necessary to integrate the humor whenever I could. I still actually, because I unwittingly wrote superheroes, I thought, well, where is this going to come from? And it was kind of natural for it to come from the comic book shops and, you know, the kids who go in there and populate it and really kind of care greatly about these stories and these people. And I thought, wow, what if you could use that as some sort of power, you know, them caring about these people who I, you know, clearly care about enough to write a whole series around. And, you know, it was just a place where the reader and my characters could kind of escape to, you know, for a bit of levity and before they have to go out and, you know, slay the monsters.
Jocelyn, do you like writing about running through alleys and slaying the monsters, or do you like the character development?
Oh, I like it all.
You
can
like it all?
Can I just like it all?
You're allowed.
I love my characters. The Dark Days series I worked on for, it seems like forever. It actually was only 7 years. But Mira and Danaeus became such a part of my life. They're just bigger than life to me. You know all their quirks and their foibles and just the insanity that's going on in their life, and you can't help, you have to love them. If you're going to spend that much time a day with your characters, you have to find a way to love them, even the bad guys, maybe even especially the bad guys. But it's also, you know, putting them in these near impossible situations to get out of. I call it digging myself a hole, and my friends and I used to joke when he read my book, Jocelyn, you've dug yourself this impossible hole to get out of it, and it would just make me more excited because the more impossible it became, the bigger the reward was going to be when I found a way to get out. And, yeah, I like these big explosions and Mira tossing fire left and right and just the general insanity that comes with, I think, just being in the urban fantasy genre.
I think that digging a hole and finding your way out is pretty much what we all do, isn't it? I mean, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It's the best answers come when your back is against the wall. Yeah,
oh, yeah.
I found that.
Well, why don't we talk about series? Because as we said at the beginning, you're ending series, or you're in the process of trying to get towards ending a series. It must be tough.
Oh, my gosh, yes. But for me, it's going to almost be a relief in a way to get rid of the hollows. Not get rid of the hollows. I love the hollows. Don't anybody email me and say, how can you not like the hollows? I love the hollows.
Everybody loves the hollows. Everybody loves the hollows.
But like all of us here have been working with these people, these characters, for years,
mm-hmm.
Which is amazing. When I, 20 years ago, you couldn't do that. You would be lucky to get a 4-book series in genre fiction. And now people have 6 and 12 and 20, and it's been amazing to see what people, authors, can do when given that amount of time. But then you have to say goodbye. And it's hard in a way. But, there's some things I'm ready to leave. I can tell you that.
Vicki, what are you ready to leave?
I was ready to leave all of it. Like I said, it was so dark, and I lived with it for so long. And, it's just really creatively exciting for me to think of entire. I just knew when this new series came knocking on, my imaginary door, that I was like, oh, gosh, if I'm turning my head away from the page, it's time to wrap this up. And I think a part of that, like Kim said, we've lived with these characters in our mind every day for so long. And I'm a totally different person now than I was when I began Zodiac, and therefore the things that interest me are different. I have different career, I have different peers, I'm now a mother where I wasn't before, and I have an entirely different lifestyle that's divided between two cities, and all these things influence. And I check a different box now on the forums that ask for age ranges. So how am I supposed to continue being interested in this really interesting and amazing 26-year-old's life? I needed a little more growth, I suppose, because all of that has shaped me, and of course it informs my writing. So now I need to be able to get that out through a new set of characters. So it's kind of a relief. Not kind of, it is a relief not to write a character that I conceived of before all of that happened.
Mm-hmm. Jocelyn, how do you feel?
At first it was very sad. A part of me wasn't ready to let go, and it got worse when the last book, Burn the Night, came out, and I was talking to fans, and every time I talked to them, they'd ask, are you sure this is the last one? But there's so much more. What about Valerio? And what about Nixon, Roe, and Nikolai? What if it happened to them? And how are you? It was time to let go. It really was time to walk away. The series was extraordinarily dark. It was hard to infuse humor in it when the world is just sitting on the cusp of ending, when everything that you work for is just so close to crumbling at your fingertips. It was hard to sit down and write every day and try to be positive about it. But it was only recently I did a reading and a book signing, and I started presenting the new series. And it was only then, when I'm talking to people, that I realized I have finally let Mira go. I finally let Danaeus go, and I can move on with my life, and I can take that next step. And it's a lot lighter, and it's funnier, and there's still crazy stuff that's going on, but somehow my main character manages to keep a sense of humor about it, and I think through that, so can I. And I appreciate it.
I wonder if in some ways it's harder for your fans to say goodbye to these characters, because I think mentally you've wrapped it up.
Oh, yeah. I think it is, absolutely, yeah. In fact, one of my readers, I have different readers for different, aspects of my writing, and I present it to her for pure story, and I want to know, she is like the reader in my mind. If she likes it, it's going to be, fantastic. And she was so invested with Joanna. She's like, I like these people, but I really miss Joanna. And I thought, oh, boy, have they become so attached to the characters rather than my writing that they're not going to follow me into this new series. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think, you know, the only way to overcome that is to love what you're writing so much that that energy comes through on the page. And then, you know, it's hard for anybody to embrace something new. You know, you always embrace the first thing that was out there, and you know, kind of cling to it. But it's nice to move on. And, you know, moving on after six books, I feel like I still have an opportunity to say, no, look, you know, here's I can do this, and I can do this as well, and I can do something over here, and, you know, still kind of keep options open instead of being known simply as, you know, an urban fantasy writer.
When you were talking about the character being 26 years old and you've moved on from them, it made me wonder, if you've got a character that's, say, a vampire and she's aged, she doesn't age, when you're writing about her and you are, in fact, 26 years old, 26 is the perfect age. But then when you're 40, do you make your perfect, the perfect age is 43? Is it hard to write about characters that are perhaps less changeless than yourself?
Wow. Well, I mean, that's why we have different writers and different books. And
yeah.
I remember I was a huge fan of Diana Gabaldon's Outlander series, and I still am. But there was a point in her series where she skipped 20 years between, you know, these two characters seeing each other. And, you know, and these two characters were lovers. I mean, they're meant to be together forever. And I didn't want her to skip those because those were my years. I'm like, no, we have to backtrack, and you need to show me all of this. But it wasn't, that was not the point for her for that series, you know. So you kind of have to kind of go with what the writer is trying to tell you there. I don't know if that answers the question, but I get it, you know. I get that dichotomy between the two things. I have a character now where, you know, he's stuck at being 33 years old. He's really supposed to be 84. So that's kind of fun to write. So I get kind of the best of both worlds there.
Is it hard to kill off characters, even as you're getting towards the end of a book?
Do you like it? No.
No, really? It's not hard?
Okay, can I answer that one?
Go for it.
Yeah.
Okay, this is Kim. I don't have a problem killing them off. I have a problem dealing with the readers after I kill them off.
Yeah. You all said that with a bit of glee. No, it's not hard at all.
I had a couple of characters who needed to die in my last series who had been there for quite a while, and I cried while writing it, and then my readers were writing me, telling me they were crying while reading it, which I was like so thankful for, because I thought, if I have to cry, you have to cry. Did you get the most flack for killing Kist out of everything and everyone?
Well, yes, I think I got the most flack for killing Kisten because a lot of my readership at that point was romance readers, although I don't write romance. And I have since found out that it is a rule, if you write romance, to never kill the main love interest. Whoops, sorry. Madalena is another one I did get a little bit of flack from. That's one I can't read because I always end up crying, because Madalena is a mother and I'm a mother, and she was defending her children and doing something I would do to the bitter end. So that one was hard for me to write, but I would do it again in a minute because it really needed to happen.
Well, as we said, we're starting new series. Kim perhaps will give us some spoilers on her new series. She wouldn't tell me very much about it earlier. Vicky's
editor doesn't know about it yet.
Well, won't they be excited to hear it today? Vicky's new series is called Celestial Blues, and it sounds very interesting. And Jocelyn's is The Asylum Tales. Let's talk, starting with you, Jocelyn. You wrote a series, now you're done, you're starting a new series. What did you learn from part one of this serial writing that you're taking to part two?
Goodness. There was actually a lot of things. One of the things I did when I attacked trying to do a new series was I actually looked back at the dark days and said, okay, so here's everything I did in one column. Let's make a second column of all the things that I couldn't do. And some of it was, most of it was actually world creation. When I was writing the Dark Days series, it's a closed world. The vampires are in hiding. Humanity doesn't know that all these other creatures that go bump in the night exist. And it's like, well, I'm throwing that out the window. We're done with that. We've played that game already. So now not only do we have vampires and werewolves, but we also have things like pixies and minotaurs and succubus, and heaven only knows what else comes out of my mind. And these are all free roaming in the world, and everybody knows they exist. And it is so much fun. Oh, my gosh, it's so much fun. Nobody has to hide.
It sounds like you threw off the shackles a little bit.
And
it did. This is what I'm going to write about.
The other thing I did was, okay, so I did the girl point of view. Now let's be insane and try to write from the point of view of a guy, which is also a ton of fun. Do you know how much they cuss? It is great. Holy crap, it is awesome. I get to write.
I've read Angel's Ink, and yeah, you have stretched yourself, Jocelyn. I'm so glad you did.
It was so much fun to just, it felt like I was just taking off all this weight that I had accumulated during dark days. And it's like, we're going to go in a completely new direction. And it was scary, but it was also a ton of fun. It's completely about a world where everything's out in the open and the people are pretty much dominated by the witches and the warlocks that rule this world up in their ivory towers. And in order for humans and a lot of other creatures to get an edge in this world, they go to see their local tattoo artists who inks a nice little potion in their skin, and that helps them find love or a job or good luck, things like that.
Oh, it's not that easy.
Yeah, really.
So, and that's, is this just the insane world that I created? And the other one, other thing that was important to me was the friend and family structure that I gave my main character. Mira was stuck with a lot of people who didn't like working with her, who were forced to work with her. Gage, on the other hand, has friends that actually like him and want him to live and want him to succeed. So I have a nice positive background for him to fall back on when things get tough. And that was really very important to me when I launched in this new series.
And Vicky, what are you taking with you into the Celestial Blues?
Well, I'm taking with me the setting. That's pretty much the only thing I wasn't done with was Las Vegas. And so it was the only thing I felt like I hadn't exhausted yet. And maybe that's because the world building in the new series is so different than the first that it doesn't feel at all like the same place. Or it could be because, you know, Vegas itself is so malleable that it can easily bend to a story's needs. So whatever it is, I'm still excited about the setting. So it's fun to see what different people will do in that place, in this place, and see how they'll react, you know, when set loose in that environment. As far as, you know, personally and creatively, you know, there's so many things that I wanted to try. It was less a laundry list of goals than it was just getting to play with, like, fun new technical choices, like writing in the third person instead of the first, and making it mystery heavy, and writing from a male as well as a female point of view. So I have dual protagonists, which is really great. They're kind of inspired by Katherine Hepburn and Spencer Tracy, that on-screen dynamic, and which I just love. And then writing a woman who was totally, totally different from Joanna, because I really couldn't write a woman who wore more leather or cursed more or had more weapons or got in more fights. I mean, I could not write somebody stronger than her, you know, and not that it can't be done, but I couldn't do it. So I know going in there was no way I could create someone to equal her. And so I made Kit, my female character, the exact opposite of her. You know, I mean, when she gets just really stressed out, she has to go get her hair pinned. She's like, I need to do my nails now. And Griff is like, what? We can't stop now. But she has to think. That's how she thinks. So I didn't want her voice to sound anything at all like Joanna's, but it was still important for me to find her strength. And her woman's strength, her female strength, is entirely different than Joanna's. And that has been such a joy to write.
Kim, you're going to have to tell us something.
Oh, no.
Yes, please.
Well, let's see. I guess what I am taking away from The Hollows is that I found I really like working with triangle relationships a lot, especially when one of the bad guys is one of the corners of the triangle. And I'm not doing that exactly in this new series that I hope will be developed into a series. The manuscript is done. My editor hasn't seen it yet. She probably won't for a while, so I may be digging myself into a really big hole here. But I think she'll like it enough to help me work with it. But the relationships, I had a great time expanding my skills in The Hollows, writing relationships, and I want to continue that in this new series. But I'd like to make it just
a shade more sophisticated in that that I'm hiding the clues and the revelations in plain sight, and you can't see them until you're looking back. And I'm doing that with shifts in perception. So I guess I'm taking what I've learned technically in the hollows and trying to bring it to a new level. I'm not sure how successful I'm going to be there, but we'll see. I'm also eager to get out of the hollows magic system. The hollows has, like Jocelyn's new one, has all the paranormals out in the open, and I'm getting rid of the paranormals in this one. The magic comes from the human itself, and that's been something I haven't worked with in a long time, so I'm eager to get back into that and see what I can do with that. But yeah, I'm still writing urban fantasy. It's still from a female protagonist's point of view. That's another thing I'm taking away from the hollows. I like that first-person female protagonist, but I'm trying to develop the male leads a little bit more, a little bit different. So it's almost a cat and mouse within the main character herself, which is something I've never done before. And like I said, it's not going to see print for an awful long time, but that's the way I work. I work very far ahead of my publishing schedule.
Well, Kim, we're going to have to content ourselves with Pale Demon and A Perfect Blood and the rest of the Hollow series until such a time as this mysterious book comes out.
Sorry. That is the way it goes.
Vicki Pedersen, Celestial Blues. The first one is The Taken, right?
That's right. It comes out June 12th, and okay. I'm very excited about it. So thank you for letting me speak with you all today.
And Jocelyn Drake, The Asylum Tales is the new one. What's the first book?
A first book is Angel's Ink, yes, and that's coming out in October.
And all three of our guests today, Kim Harrison, Vicki Pedersen, and Jocelyn Drake, all have websites and extensive fan bases and can be found on Facebook and Twitter, I'm sure. I'm not making things up now, am I?
Oh, no.
No, okay. Thank you so much for sharing some dark fantasy with us today. I really enjoyed it, and I hope you'll come and talk to us again soon. Many thanks to my guests, Kim Harrison, Vicki Pedersen, and Jocelyn Drake. You can find all of them on the bookshelves and online. I'm Kim Alexander. Follow me at KimAlexander80. And this has been Book Radio Presents Urban Fantasy, saying goodbye to your demons.
This is SiriusXM Book Radio.